Station, March
18th, 2001. I know, but it's also teaching her.
Question today has to do with the fact that we've just about got the Wanderer's Handbook ready to be published. We're going to be sending it out to people on our mailing list who have ordered books and tapes from us over the years. Many of them are very likely wanderers or spiritual outsiders of one kind or another to whom this book is aimed. And we were wondering if Quo today would like to say something to these people about the concepts in the book, the quality of being a wanderer, whether one feels alienated and isolated in the spiritual journey or not. And anything Quo would like to say, we would be grateful to hear.
We are those of the principle known to you as the Quo. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. We thank you for calling us to your group this afternoon. It is always a great privilege and pleasure to speak with you. We want to thank each who has come for the sacrifice of those other things that were not done this day in order that each of you might seek the truth and rest in the silence that binds us all in the love and the light of the one Creator. It is wonderful to be able to share our humble thoughts with you. We do want to be clear that we are not authority figures, but rather those who are seekers upon the same path as you. Perhaps we have walked a few steps more. Perhaps we remember a few more of the experiences that we have had. And therefore, perhaps we can offer opinions that may be useful and interesting to each of you. But we do ask that each of you listen with a discriminating and careful ear. Listening not for all of our words, but for those words that seem to resonate within your heart. For truth is a very subjective thing. And when something is part of your personal truth, it will have a certain ring to it. And you will recognize it. Trust that resonance of recognition and not the seeming authority of any source. For you have responsibility for your mental, emotional, and spiritual evolution. You may choose the rate and the process of change. And we would not wish to become a stumbling block as each of you seeks the truth in his and her own way. With that said, we are very happy to share our thoughts on the occasion of this special newsletter, which speaks to those who have enjoyed other material that we of the Confederation of Planets in the service of the Infinite Creator may have offered in times previous to this. For many to whom we speak, we simply say, welcome home. For one thing that is very common among wanderers and all of those who have begun the process of awakening from the sleep of Earth is a feeling of not being at home in the Earth world, of not recognizing the colors and shapes of your beautiful planet. As lovely as it is, yet still it does not feel like the shores and the fields of home. And this is because in many cases, we speak to those who do not originate from the planetary environment you call Earth, but rather who are those who have chosen very deliberately and specifically to come to Earth on a voyage of service and learning. For many others to whom we speak, Earth is the native sphere, the beloved home. And yet, the spirit has awakened from the dream of Earth. And more, in the awakening process, Earth has become an alien place. Not because its shapes are unfamiliar, but because the thinking of its peoples and its culture has begun to jar against the newly found shapes and resonances of an awakening awareness of the self as a citizen of eternity and infinity. Whether you listen as one who is an Earth native or as one who has come here from elsewhere, yet still we speak to you as absolute equals. For all of those who have awakened have become wanderers upon Earth. All begin to experience the dislocation of living in two worlds at once. There are certain characteristics to this experience of awakening and finding oneself, attempting to make sense out of that which seems more and more not to make sense, about which we can speak. One very common experience is the experience of isolation. It is as though a separation had occurred between those who think in physical terms and the self who is thinking in metaphysical terms. The reasons and the considerations for making choices in the Earth world have to do with practicality, finances, schedules, what people think, what the mores of the culture are, and so forth. To the spirit who has awakened, there has been a switch of universes. And the reasons for doing things in the Earth world do not seem to hold the fascination and the attractiveness, if ever they did hold any attractiveness to you. Rather, there comes more and more to be a yearning of the heart for truth, for essence, and for service. The self, once realized as a metaphysical entity, It's also realized as an ethical principle. And you can see yourself more and more clearly as one who truly can be responsible for doing her absolute best to do the ethical thing, to hold the highest principle, to hew to the road that seems the most beautiful, the most moral, and the most right for the self. Often, that which the world considers right and that which the inner self considers right will coincide. However, not infrequently, issues looked at from the standpoint of Earth are looked at with an eye to the protection of the self and the maintenance of the environment. Whereas looked at as a metaphysical issue, often the solution is transformed and roads may be chosen that do not seem as practical. As convenient or as down to earth. For in the switch of universes, there is the release of the forms of the world and the realization of forms which are higher in the metaphysical universe. All things are energy and vibration. And your thoughts and intentions are far more important than whether or not, in the eyes of the world, you have succeeded. It is a cliche among all cultures of Earth that many a fool cannot seem to be practical. And yet many times, from the standpoint of spirit, it is very important to be impractical and to hew to that which this instrument calls the highest and best. Again, such value judgments are very subjective. And another's opinion of what is the highest path or the finest or most beautiful principle by which to live may not agree with your opinion. And we say to you, one way to become more at home in this strange world of the awakened spirit on earth is to be decisively impractical. And to know, going into decisions, that you shall be making decisions with an eye to spiritual values. Often these decisions will not make sense to others. And we encourage each to have the courage and the faith to follow your principles, your guidance, your life. For what each of you has awakened to is a precious awareness of self as essence. Each of you has become aware that you live in a very busy physical world. It is a world of never-ending detail. a world which this instrument often characterizes as offering her too much good work to do. It is not that the world offers one bad choice after another, for this is often not the case. There are many beauties and blessings to the world as it is, in all of its confusion. Yet there is a simplifying factor underlying all of the busyness and the tail of physical life. And that is the essence that you are, that each of you is. We would look at this essence for a moment, for it is at the heart of what we have to say. Each of you is very, very real. Beyond the dream of Earth, beyond the dream of ego, beyond the dream that is that level at which we are now speaking, beyond all dreams of which we know, each of you is very profoundly, ultimately, uniquely real. You are, in fact, the stuff of creatorship. Each of you is a spark of the divine. And without each of you, the divine would not be complete. Each of you was before time and space existed. And each of you will be beyond all thought, beyond all telling, beyond any creation's end. For in infinity, an end is always a beginning. And you shall forever be the only you that exists. Precious, beloved of the Creator, an essence, a light, a love. You are here as awakened beings to be, not to do. This is a terrifically difficult concept to receive within the context of incarnated life. Because life, as you know it, as you experience it, as the culture teaches you to experience it, is about doing. You were taught to value yourself as a worker, as a producer, as an accomplisher of deeds. They may be many different kinds of deeds, but at the next gathering to which you go, you will be asked not who are you, but what do you do? And you will be valued by many people according to how that answer goes. And yet we say to you that you are not here primarily as a doer, but as an essence. In the energetic or metaphysical sense, each of you is a field of energy. Now, this energy is not simple. Each of you has as a core vibration the one great original thought. Each of you at the core is the Creator. Indeed, the basic goal of evolution is to come once again into full vibratory congruency with the one original thought, that is the Logos. This Logos could be described as love, And yet that word has been so sullied by being used for different kinds of passion and emotion and devotion, that it is inadequate at heart to express the fullness of that quality that is creative and divine love. To this original logoic energy, you have created distortions or variations or complexities that add to that basic vibration and that make you the unique essence that you are. As we see your vibratory pattern, we see your name metaphysically. You are as a rainbow of color and a certain pattern of shape that is in its own way exquisite. And we would know each of you anywhere. Not from what you are thinking, not from what you are feeling at any particular moment, but rather from the great accumulation of self through many experiences and many densities. Each of you comes to the present moment vibrating in a very discernibly identifiable way. And this is the great gift of each awakened being to the self and to planet Earth and to the peoples of Earth. For once each is awakened, each becomes an agent of the love and the light of the one infinite creator. It is part of the nature of the ethical, biological entity that you are, that you shall express in this way. Here is the plan that we believe each of you set before yourselves before incarnation. The plan was to choose a set of relationships and a set of lessons, as the one known as Tom was saying in the conversation before this meditation. "I know that this problem has come to me," he said, "because I set this up for myself." And I'm looking to sit with this difficulty, to enjoy this challenge, and to move through this process with as much love as possible. Your plan as learning entities interested in the evolution of spirit was not to be here and be wise, but to be here and be confused. You were hoping, by coming into this very dense physical illusion, to become completely disoriented and to wake up in the midst of a true sea of confusion. And the reason that you hoped for this was that you had the feeling that you could come to a better balance of self, a more pure choice of polarity, and a more passionate desire to seek the truth. Before incarnation, it seemed not so hard, Because before incarnation, gazing at the scope of the entire incarnation, it seemed fairly obvious what these lessons were and why these relationships were important to follow through. It seemed unlikely that we could possibly avoid awakening. Yet in most cases, awakening is not an easy thing. But a process that moves in jerks and fits and starts. Going through many an epiphany and many a dark night of the soul. Your hope here was simply to become so aware of the confusion of planet Earth that you would finally stop attempting to control things from the mind, from the ego, from the head. And would abandon what appeared to be an inadequate resource for dealing with that sea of confusion that is our life. You hoped that you would begin to move into the heart. For it is the heart, its intuitions and emotions, which contain the true harvest of wisdom, love, and truth that lie within you, within the sea of confusion. When the awakened seeker begins to move into the heart and allow the heart to open and remain open, even when it is the most vulnerable, then it is that somehow the issues begin to seem simpler. Then it is that unseen hands begin to seem to lend their aid, and messengers of bird and beast, word and sign and relationship and association seem to begin to pop up here and there and everywhere, forming a synchronistic web of coincidence and connection that teach and offer help when it is least expected and least seen ahead of time. Attempting to live by essence, attempting to be oneself, is the work of the heart. Often, it does seem very impractical as a way of living. For the open heart seems very unprotected and very vulnerable, and so it is, vulnerable to confusion and challenge of all kinds. The strength of living in the heart is that slender strength called faith that lifts one on angel's wings and takes one above a problem. So that even if the body is troubled and the mind is confused, there is a serenity that comes from the release into knowing that all is well and that all will be well. This trick of living, which is called faith, is a great key in switching universes. For faith takes the place of control in the earth world and doing becomes being. Details become essence. And the life moves from the inside out rather than being driven from the outside in. Another aspect of being a wanderer, which is common to those from elsewhere and to those who are native to the earth sphere, is the enormous yearning to serve. And we say to each that the main service of you, we correct this instrument, of each of you, is the service of being yourself. For when you are most deeply and truly yourself, when your heart is open and vibrating in its fullness, you become a crystal capable of receiving energy, transmuting energy, and releasing energy into the earth sphere. Many of you from other planets have come here specifically to do this. It is a simple process. You breathe in, you breathe out, you allow the truth to flow through you. You allow the infinite supply of energy that is the love of the Creator to flow through your energetic system and out into the earth planes. And as you bless this process and consciously encourage it, you intensify and enhance those vibrations that move into the earth plane. Each of you, by the way you are, is at this time a servant of life. And you need do nothing more than live and love to fulfill your mission upon earth. Naturally, each of you gave himself gifts to share, lessons to learn, and outer services to perform. And we encourage each to move along those lines of talent and gifts as you perceive them, looking for ways to share those gifts. But realize more than those outer doings. The inner essence is the true and central gift of the life which you have come to offer. It is a beautiful gift. It is a gift that will take you all your life to give. And our encouragement to you is to realize that you can give this gift and do this service regardless of what else you seem to be doing in your life. You can work on opening your heart within the process of the workaday world, within the process of any present moment, under the storm of any challenge. It is impossible for anything or anyone to keep you from pursuing the service of being. And we want you to know that you have many helpers to aid you in this service. For each of you has guidance. Personal guidance. Deeply impersonal sources of guidance. Inner planes, teachers, that shall come to you if you have a desire for that which they have to share. Many are the unseen spiritual aids which are available to the persistent and asking seeker. The key here is simply to ask and to keep asking with all of your heart. For it is true, as this instrument's holy work says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Your desire shapes a tremendous amount of that which you shall receive spiritually. So trust that self that desires. Do not scorn it. But rather seek to know yourself more and more, and to define and refine to yourself that which you truly do desire, that which you truly do seek. That which you seek, you shall find. Each of you is a tremendously powerful principle, spiritually speaking, and a wonderful haven of help and healing to others. You are a particular kind of spiritual being. And although it may seem that you are isolated, that you are different, and that you cannot be effective, yet we say to you that this is far from true. You cannot know what importance a smile or a word from you may have to another. You cannot know who will oversee some action or thought that you take and be comforted and inspired. You do not know when you reach out your hand how it will be received, and yet the impulse to do that is gold, spiritually speaking. Know yourself to be one who is truly powerful to serve, one who is worthy to serve, one who, by doing her best, shall have done all that is necessary. This instrument often says, is there ever enough? Having noticed in so many ways that she is seldom satisfied. And yet we say to you, yes, you are enough. Just as you are at this moment. Know yourself to be of great value. As you are. As you sit. As you rest. At this moment. And know that all of the confusion of earth cannot remove that essential quality from your being. We greatly sympathize with the confusion each feels within the earth plane. We admire your courage. We rest in the comparative sureness of knowing, of our density, in which many, many things are known, in which all thoughts are clear. Our confusion and our seeking lie in the mystery beyond that knowing. But to you, even that the knowledge of self and the knowledge of other self is so often hidden. It is as though each of you were in a scene from the television program This Instrument Knows as X-Files, looking around with flashlights in one dark corner after another. Such is the spiritual world. Within the earth plane, it is a very dark planet. The inner planes are not clear. And often, there is no observed light. And yet we say to you, trust the light that is not seen. Trust that candle that is your heart. And know that as long as you keep that candle lit, that is your only responsibility. Not for other thinking, not for other people, not for outer issues, but only to open the heart, to offer the self to love and be loved, to know the self as part of the Creator. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one that is Jim. We thank this instrument and need it in love and light. For we are those of Kua.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question, kind of touching on something you said earlier, and something I've read the last couple days. Gentleman that his work on this planet was to anchor energy, the frequencies, places that are me. And I'm curious on how that works and how others may assist in that endeavor.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. Each entity has a unique vibratory signature, shall we say. So that as the entity is able to go about its daily round of activities, that quality of its beingness that is unique to it informs all that it accomplishes. In this way, each entity may be seen to be as an anchor, or as we would say, a seed that is able to be planted in the soil of third density, nourished by the attention that the entity gives to its spiritual journey. As each seed grows, so is the vibratory signature of the entity added to that signature of all others of that nature. Thus is a certain kind of energy anchored or planted within this third density illusion. Is there another query, my brother?
Something that Carl and I talked about, I think, last week. She mentioned that her channeling, she sometimes loses a couple pounds. I was curious, what would be the cause of that?
I am Kuo, and I'm again with this instrument. The one known as Carla has within her particular electrical body makeup a certain configuration which allows for a deeper than normal contact. Normal, that is, for most who serve as instruments. That this instrument is able to move into those areas of its own subconscious mind and serve as instrument is a portion of its beingness, the reason, shall we say, for which incarnation was taken at this time. As those areas of the subconscious mind are utilized in this fashion and for this reason, there is a kind of fuel that is used to allow this process to continue. This fuel is, shall we say, connected to the physical body in such a way that there is the burning of a portion of the physical body, as would occur in many hours of physical labor, thus resulting in the same loss of fuel or body mass as with this physical labor. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yeah, the last one I have is kind of an important one. I think all inquiry would like to know who you pick in the NCAA final would be.
I'm aware of your query, my brother. We are much unused to the game sphere displacement, which is popular among your peoples at this time. Thus, we will rely upon this instrument's traditional favorite, that being of the wildcat nature. Is there a further query, my brother?
Not from the audience.
I don't quote. We thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question concerning my father, who is in end-stage renal failure, and I was instructed by the emergency room doctor to call my sisters and get everything prepared and organized in the event that my father can no longer control his affairs. He had the opportunity to make a living will just last week and refused to take the responsibility. Plus, he has no other will that anyone's aware of, and I do not want to infringe upon his free will, but I need to know whether I should take responsibility and for him and my sisters, and also not just responsibility but protection for any kind of crisis that could happen in the future. And like I said, my biggest problem is infringing upon his free will. Is there any response that could enlighten me on this issue?
I am cool, and am aware of your query, my sister. We are also appreciative of your situation in that there is the great desire from the open heart to be of service to the one who has been your father within this illusion, and yet to serve without infringing upon this entity's free will. This is the stuff of third density. It is an illusion in which there is much confusion. For each entity has the desire to serve. But oh, how easy it is to move in those areas which do infringe upon others' free will with this great desire to serve. It would be our recommendation that within the state of meditation, you take yourself to that place where your Father is, in His own heart and His own mind. Look there through His eyes, through His experience. And for a portion of your time, attempt to become this entity. This is not easy, my sister. For the complexity of each identity, a personality, hides the heart of each of many, including the self. As you are able to approximate the experience of this entity, look then to the efforts of others, and attempt to discover what this entity truly would wish beyond the words that have been spoken to date. Then, still in meditation, become again that entity which you are. See into your heart the deepest desires that dwell therein. Attempt to see how your desires would truly affect the one known as your Father. Examine the courses that are set before you to intervene, not to intervene. Travel each road separately, one, then the other. Examine those feelings of rightness that well up more for one than the other. Move along that path as fully as you can in meditation. When your meditation is complete, examine with your intellect the courses chosen, the responses felt, and move then in the third density illusion with as full a heart as you can, with the desire to serve, and with reliance upon the higher self to guide you in this service. We apologize for being unable to be more specific in our response, for we do not wish ourselves to infringe upon your free will. It is choices such as this choice that are important in one's own spiritual journey, and the fruits from such choices, to be valuable to you, must need be chosen by you. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, but I truly thank you for being really so specific. and think through on a question that did concern a specific specific question and answer. So I'm very grateful for the information I just received.
I am cool. And we thank you, my sister, for the opportunity to serve. Is there another query at this time?
I'd like to follow up on Steve's question about me losing weight, just a little bit more, just to ask, is this the same phenomenon that occurred during trans contact years ago, only not as much, or is it qualitatively a different state of mind than when I was channeling unconsciously? Because as far as I know, at this time, I'm quite conscious when I channel.
I know, and I'm aware of your clearness. The process which you now undertake, as you serve as an instrument in these sessions of work, is fundamentally the same as the process which was utilized in the work with those of Ra, which utilized the trance level of contact. However, though you now do not utilize the trance, your facility at reaching deeper levels of the subconscious mind has brought you to virtually the same condition as regards the burning of the body fuel, shall we say. Is there a further question, my sister?
Yes. In that case, I would just ask if my impression that I am extremely well protected now is accurate.
I am aware of your query, my sister. The protection available in these circles of working is substantial due to two factors. That is, the number of entities gathered who add their energy of protection, and the fact that your aura is infringed upon in such a degree by the holding of the hand that levels of the subconscious mind where it is possible to leave the body are not reached. There is a third factor as well, that being the presence of many discarnate entities who add their energy and protection to these sessions of work. Is there a further question?
Only one, and that is just if there's anything that I can do with more skill or craft to improve the content.
I am aware of your query, message. We find that all necessary prerequisites are being met with a full heart and with total attention of each present. Is there a further clue?
No. Thank you very much.
I am again, we thank you. Is there another query at this time?
Is there bashful, unseen friends have any words of wit or wisdom they'd like to contribute at this time?
I am aware of your query, Mother. Those of the angelic host give their blessings and wish each well for the continued expression of joy and love which each finds emanating from this group as a regular feature of its gathering. Is there another group?
Not for me, thanks.
And we thank you once again, my brother. Is there a final query at this time?
Yes, I've been hesitating to ask this, but it just keeps coming back. And it's maybe something that I've even touched on in the past, but it has to do with trying to help someone, and how do you determine when you started to hurt that person actually by your help, whether you started to cripple them or enable them to do anything for themselves? This is an old thing with me, but is there any comment at all you have on that?
And, well, and then where to clear, remember. The attempt to serve another is one which of necessity must begin with that entity's request in some fashion to you for service. It is indeed difficult to serve one who does not wish to be served. It may be difficult and inconvenient to oneself to be unable to move in this manner in service to another. When one is in the position of a parent, shall we say, there is oftentimes the necessity of offering those services to the young children for which they have not asked. And in this relationship, it is necessary for the ones serving as parents to move in relationship to the children in a manner which the parent feels appropriate. Oftentimes, this will result in some kind of infringement upon free will, which is, shall we say, the price of this kind of relationship. It is the parent's obligation, the duty, to be of such service, for the young ones are unaware, in many cases, of what would be helpful and necessary for their benefit. When one finds oneself in this kind of relationship with one who is not a child, who has grown to adult years and yet expresses itself in many cases as with a child, then there is the difficulty of continuing to put oneself in the position of the parent. Out of a desire to be of service and to aid such an entity, one may move without the entity's request. And when this occurs, then there is the continuation of the bonds that are no longer appropriate for either in the relationship, allowing such a child to fall or to fail on its own may be unacceptable to the one who has placed itself in the parental relationship for a prolonged period of time. It is a dilemma which we do not have a solution for, but we recognize that experience is common for many of your peoples at this time. it is a matter of your own choice as to how far you wish to move along this path. We apologize once again for being unable to solve this dilemma for you. We applaud your open heart. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, thank you.
I am quiet. Again, we thank you, my brother. We are aware that we have taken a great portion of your time in speaking to you this day, and would at this time take our leave of this meeting and this group, leaving each as always in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as those of Kor. Adene, my friends. Adene.
Anne, Ethel, Ophelia, Alan, Judy, Scott, Dana, Lynn, Mike, me, Vicky, Dana, Sonia, Stephen, Marilyn, Barb, Betty, Donna, Adela, Glenn, Kim, Janet, Jonathan, Sally, Frank and Ethel, Jenny, Marilyn, Abby, Melanie, Steve's niece, Sam's dad, Cindy, Mama Cardi, the Cause of Peace, Planet Earth,
Adam and Bob, Brenda, Susan, Janelle, Abigail, Adam, Paula,
Mommy, Leslie,
Ernest,
united people, we are one.